Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with a community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Kelsey, from Laytonville High School, and
Rowan from Laytonville High School,
Teo from Laytonville High School,
and Elios from Wilts High School.
Today our topic is, should nutrition be a part of our education, or sugar, soda, fats, salt, and other dangerous substances? In the past decade, the Center for Disease Control, or CDC, has reported on increases in youth obesity, diabetes, and impaired cognitive development that can be linked to inadequate nutrition. They point out that teens often consume many of their calories from sweets and fat. Schools are in a unique position to promote healthy eating and help ensure appropriate food and nutrient intake among students. Schools can provide students with opportunities to consume an array of foods and beverages throughout the school day and enable students to learn about and practice healthy eating behaviors.
One of the things we want to talk about today is the importance of nutritional education in the grammar and high school, in the grammar and high schools, to teach students eating habits that will benefit their health and lifestyles. According to Nutrition Explorations, there are nearly three times as many overweight teens in schools in 2011 than in 1980. Teaching nutrition as part of standards curriculum can help students understand how to make the right dietary choices. Students who eat right may also perform and behave better in school. Clearly, regular exercise is also important for health.
Nutrition courses as part of a high school curriculum can cover a broad range of topics, including dietary guidelines for daily servings and the types of foods to eat. Students who learn nutrition in high school may also study the importance of certain vitamins and minerals and how they are used in the body. They can be made aware of the risks of excess consumption of sugars, including corn syrups, fat, especially trans fats, and salt. They can learn how to make choices that contribute to a healthier overall lifestyle, such as participating in regular exercise or sports, safe weight loss, and the negative effects of eating disorders.
Some young people have inadequate nutrition because of economics. Laytonville High has a hot lunch served daily, and about half of the students eat there. The lunch is subsidized for low-income families. Many students go off campus to town for lunch. Laytonville is a small town and does not have any corporate fast food outlets, though a gas station has relatively low-cost fried foods. There are several lunch outlets that are more health-oriented, like the Natural Food Store.
The consumption of sodas and sugary drinks by young people is considered a major contributor to the youth obesity epidemic. 2 out of 3 adults and 1 out of 3 children in the United States are considered overweight or obese, and the nation spends an estimated $190 billion a year treating obesity-related health conditions. People who drink sugary beverages do not feel as full as if they had eaten the same calories from solid food, and studies show that people consuming sugary beverages don't compensate for their high caloric content by eating less food. From 1989 to 2008, calories consumed in the form of sugary beverages increased by 60% in children ages 6 to 11, and the percentages of children consuming them rose from 79% to 91%. Beverage companies in the U.S. spend billions of dollars marketing carbonated beverages, with a significant portion of marketing aimed directly at youth ages 2 to 17. Each year, youth see hundreds of television ads for sugar-containing drinks. The beverage industry, however, generally rebuffs suggestions that its products and marketing tactics play any role in the obesity epidemic.
In a similar manner, producers of fast foods and high-caloric, low-nutrition cereals and desserts generally deny that they are marketing poor health to our youth. Foods that are high in sodium and fats, especially hydrogenated trans fats, are clearly targeted to young developing bodies and minds. Some cities have tried to pass laws to curb unhealthy food consumption by youth, only to be blocked by courts, like limiting supersized sodas in New York City. Currently, the Food and Drug Administration has proposed measures that would all but eliminate artery-clogging artificial trans fats from the food supply. This culmination of 3 decades of effort by public health advocates to get government to take action against them. Will this be blocked by the courts as well? Some people argue that the government is becoming a nanny state and taking away people's liberties by banning unhealthy foods. We hope that you, the listening audience, will join in this discussion later in the program.
Today we will also discuss how we have developed our dietary patterns. Like most young people, the way we have eaten at home is what seems normal and adequate for us. Different cultures have dissimilar eating patterns. Like religion, there is no one correct way of eating that suits everyone, but it is generally acknowledged that food choices may have serious health consequences for youth and adults. During the call-in portion of the show, we hope that you will let us know what your dietary beliefs are.
We will talk about our experiences in learning about nutrition for about 30 minutes. Then we will open the phone lines. We want to encourage you to express your knowledge and opinions about diet, nutrition, trans fat, sugar, salt, and making sure that the next generation is receiving the best diet for healthful development. We are at the Willits Studio and our phone number is 456-9991. We'll mention the number again when we open the phone lines. So Rowan, how have you learned about nutrition?
I've lived in a rural area, Laytonville, most of my life, and I've always had a, you know, or odd family when it comes to food and stuff. My mom's sort of a hippie, I guess, when it comes down to it, and so is my stepdad, and most of my family, we've always had nutrition in our lives, I guess. We've always been told in my family not to eat unhealthy, that it's usually better to skip going to restaurants like McDonald's, Burger King, and all of those places, and instead just go to Safeway and buy yourself a sandwich or just a couple pieces of fruit or something, easy alternatives like that. That's mostly all I've learned about my nutrition, has just been through family and stuff. What about you, Tao?
My parents have been eating organic with me for my entire life, so I haven't really had... So I've been eating food that's not covered with pesticides. But other than that, my parents have been kept me very wary of stuff like, you know, fast food restaurants. And I remember the first time my parents brought up nutrition to me, I asked about Captain Crunch. I wanted Captain Crunch cereal because it looked good, and my parents wouldn't let me have it, and I asked them why, and I went in this like hour-long discussion about why Captain Crunch was bad for me. It was really boring, but as soon as it was first brought up to me, I was like 5 years old. An hour was a really long time, so that's my first discussion, my first experience. How about you, Elias?
Well, the town I grew up in, Fairfax, most people are pretty strict about their health. There's no fast food restaurants or anything in the town, so I basically came from that.
Yeah, I've had different experiences than Rowan and Teo. My family my dad's a cattle rancher, or he used to be, and so we've always had lots of meat and proteins in our diet, and not really so much worried about organic stuff as much. We would get other stuff out of, like, boxes and stuff. But since I've grown up more and been around different people, like Rowan, Teo, Talon, those guys, they don't eat microwavable food as much, and others just like easy to grab stuff. So I've been kind of getting out of the habit of eating that kind of food. Yeah,
I've never even had a microwave in my house.
Yeah, me neither.
The only purpose that I ever really saw for a microwave was if you were extremely, really freaking lazy, or if you had something that I guess you just needed to heat up a little bit. I mean,
it's quicker than just using the oven, because we don't have one anymore now. So I have to go and preheat the oven and everything. Yeah, it's pretty much for lazy people.
Yeah, it's the purpose of a microwave. It's when you don't want to take that extra couple of minutes to throw your food in the oven and everything and, you know, do it that way.
But if you want to be truly lazy, you don't even bother warming it up. You just eat it frozen.
Or you could go with buying yourself a toaster oven, so you get, like, the best of both worlds.
Toaster ovens are great.
The oven side, and then you've got, like, the tiny part side that's cool with the microwave, so you've got, like, this little thing you could just keep it in your room if you needed to, and, like, grill things.
You can, like, have, faster. Like, cheese on the bread. It's like toaster, but it's flat.
Oh, I've tried that. Sometimes it works. Sometimes the toaster starts smoking.
Yeah.
I had a friend who would just put, like, shredded Parmesan cheese on a plate, warm it up in the microwave, and eat it like that. It's so disgusting. There's all these oils and greases everywhere, and she's just peeling the cheese off the plate and eating it. I've never had much food from, like, McDonald's or Burger King. I've had it more, actually, this past couple years, because we go and hang out there sometimes, but,
Play magic cards.
Yeah. But I can't handle greasy foods very much. It just doesn't make me feel well. I don't eat the fried foods at the Chevron, or the other places around town. I just grab, like, a bag of popcorn or something, or a sandwich. Call it good. But I do like sodas. I like carbonation in general, so it's always been an issue of mine.
I've never really had many sodas in my life. I mean, I have, but I don't... I've always got other things that I can drink. I've always got other options than sugary foods or drinks. If there's a soda in the fridge and I'm like, okay, I'll go for a soda, then I'll grab a soda. Otherwise, I'll just grab a cup of water or something, maybe some juice, something simple like that.
My dad wanted me to break off of soda for a while because I was having like 3 Pepsis a day for a bit. And he's like, you just like the carbonation. You don't even like the taste that much. So he went out and bought me some juice squeeze, and that helped me get off of soda. Because they're like the carbonated juices.
I
actually haven't really had the option of sugary foods for most of my life.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you all think breakfast is important? Do you generally eat breakfast in the morning?
I don't.
Me neither.
I will very rarely have breakfast on mornings that I can convince myself to get up and make myself breakfast.
Breakfast is a waste of sleep.
And I usually feel nauseous after waking up in the morning, so I'd have to get up really early to get rid of that.
Yeah, my problem is
I'm the same way, too.
Don't bother eating in the mornings.
Usually just wait until brunch at school.
Yeah, yeah, I never same. Put any importance into breakfasts, really.
I get up and leave.
It's pretty much how school is. You wake up, or how, yeah, most school and stuff is. You go to sleep, you wake up, you leave. Yeah, breakfast isn't much of a consideration. It's just not much time for it in the morning.
Brunch at Wilts High School is actually pretty good. Always liked it. We have breakfast burritos, gravy and biscuits, and all sorts of things that you can get there, but the good stuff's usually gone pretty fast. Yeah. What's the brunch like at Laytonville?
Laytonville High School, the brunch there is usually a bagel.
Well, you can get a bagel if you get in line fast enough.
Yeah, if you're lucky, you get a bagel.
There's like a mob of people and like just like that hog into the line. There's like no line. It's just kind of like a group of like people circulating the thing. They just shoving and like throw people around.
Everyone.
It's violent.
We have 2 lines, but everyone cuts in them, of course.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, the brunch at Laytonville High School sort of sucks.
There's been so many times where I get there a little bit late from picking stuff up from a class, and then get there and there's nothing but maybe some... What are those little cereal things that
Golden
are...
Golden Grahams.
Yeah, those.
Golden Grahams.
We usually have seconds. I usually grab seconds. It's always egg rolls left because most people don't like them.
That sounds pretty cool, actually. Going into brunch and have an unlimited supply of egg rolls.
Yeah.
Just plates.
Taken like 3 before.
Instead of Golden Grahams.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it seems weird to me because one of the biggest things that I think I see in most people's houses that nobody even thinks about is, like, even in a bunch of healthy people's houses, I always go in there and I'll see, like, a box of cereal or something. Like, I've gone into complete health freaks' houses before and seen just a box of Captain Crunch.
Easy breakfast.
I really like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah,
I eat Raisin Bran.
That's so gross.
I like Raisin Bran.
I can't stand
Raisins are yummy.
Raisins
they're
are
like
great.
I don't like raisins in general.
Raisin Bran, the raisins are coated in sugar.
Not my Raisin Bran. I have super hippie Raisin Bran.
It's not Raisin Bran, then.
It's got special, like, omega-3
omega
stuff.
Threes
and omega 3s. Yeah, I got super
Note
hippie.
Note to self, don't eat breakfast at Teo's.
No, when there's people over, we have pancakes. I like pancakes.
That's true. Like, whenever anyone stays the night over there, it's always pancakes in the morning.
Pancakes.
It's great. But yeah, it's been so weirded out in the past by walking into people's houses, and they've got, like, pretty much a whole garden growing in their front living room, just because, you know, they like to deal with plants and stuff.
Here are the carrots, over here we've got the lettuce, and over here we have the Captain Crunch tree.
Is this garden supposed to be growing?
Yeah, and then there's just this box of crap cereal. It's like, it was truly beautiful. It had artificial colorings, it had all of the amazing, beautiful things that we love in cheap cereals.
Usually,
and after you eat it, your poop might change color.
Usually, my mom buys healthy cereals and a bunch of crappy cereals for my brother because he'll eat them all.
Yeah, I've never really put a whole lot of importance into, like, nutrition and all that type of stuff. And it's sort of important in my life, but I don't always pay attention to being as healthy as I can when it comes to putting foods into my body. I mean, I know it's good, and it's better to be healthy and everything, but sometimes it's sort of fun to just sit there and be lazy. Go with a quick, cheap, faster alternative.
I go days eating nothing but sugar sometimes.
I can't do that. Like, I went to a friend's house and they only had, like, boxes of donuts and chips and sodas and everything, and I'm not really a vegetable freak or anything, but by the end of the day, I was wanting a piece of broccoli or anything. I mean, it was, I don't understand how people could live like that.
You gotta have some balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't actually had to worry about nutrition in my life. My parents did all that thinking for me. I don't have to worry about food.
You have to double check them, don't you?
No. They just kind of fill up the shopping cart, come home with food, and I eat it.
Yeah, with my parents, my mom usually checks and makes sure that when we go shopping, there's nothing bad that they're bringing back. Bringing back organic foods and making sure not to grab the wrong item that's not organic when there's the organic item sitting right next to it.
You have to grab the brown flour, not the white flour, because the white flour has been bleached. And
pretty much. Same with sugar. You got to make sure that you grab the brown sugar and everything, because
I made a mistake, though, of making cookies with brown sugar or brown flour instead of white flour, and they came out all weird and lumpy, and they just didn't taste very well, and I think I used too much of the flour anyway. So
that's sort of how, like, my cookies are at home. They're like,
it's weird and
lumpy,
deformed
and amazing,
and really repulsive looking.
But that doesn't really matter. What matters is how they taste.
They just close your eyes
kind of salty.
And hope
I don't,
for the best.
Salty cookies are not a big thing for me. Ilios,
mm-hmm.
When did you first start to learn about nutrition and stuff in school?
I don't remember really learning about nutrition in school until high school health class.
Yeah, I can say the same. I didn't really learn about much nutrition. Oh, actually, I went to Sparrock School. Never mind. We had our own garden. We planted trees. Everything up there was all about being green and having a good, nutritious lifestyle to have a good, healthy start for the students up there. It was pretty fun.
I don't really think I learned anything about nutrition in the elementary school at Laytonville. I can't think of one thing that I learned about nutrition.
Oh, wait, there were posters in some of the rooms, like the 5th grade or 6th grade room, that had, like, a food pyramid.
Yeah, they actually did have those
in
the cafeteria.
Food pyramids, in the cafeteria as well. Mm-hmm. That's like all of the nutrition, everything you'll ever need to know, all boiled down to one little poster. Is that little food pyramid?
Oh, haven't they changed the food pyramid? Isn't like now like a food ladder or something? We don't use the
food
pyramid anymore.
Yeah,
like
a food ladder or a food plate or something. And there's so many different
ways. Shows how much I've looked around lately.
I like food plates.
Yeah, plates of food, man. The only thing they could make it better is if it said free.
Well,
or bowls. Bowls are better than plates.
Then there was,
I prefer bowls.
I like forks.
We watched that Food Inc. video in Mr. Potter's class, and that just kind of ruined so like foster farms and all these other things. I saw like little baby chickens getting killed, and everybody was keep on saying, "Oh, Kelsey, come on, you have to continue watching this. This is gonna be like the good part." It's like, no, I can't watch this anymore. They're so adorable, and they're getting stabbed in the neck and dying.
Yeah, it seems like the whole purpose of movies like Food Inc. is to scare everybody away from the fast food industry, and it works for some people.
People swear they're never gonna eat fast food, then eat it again a week later.
I'm never gonna eat fast food again. That burger.
I try to stick to the French fries only, even though those say clearly on the wall that they can give you cancer.
That's not good.
Yeah. Cancerous potatoes.
Health fairs. What's a health fair?
A health fair. Do you have health fairs at the Willits High School?
No.
It's like this thing where they like bring a whole bunch of people, like the school, into this thing, and they like make you walk, and then they like go take you around in circles, and they're like, "All right, this is what's bad for you. This is what's good for you. This is what you should do to keep yourself healthy: exercise, eat this food, eat
stay
that.
Stay away from drugs.
Don't do drugs.
Stay away from sex.
Don't do drugs. Sex and drugs are bad.
Yeah, especially when you mix them. Especially when you're having sex with your drugs.
Oh, that's just kinky.
I don't remember that segment of the health fair, but okay then.
I
think we have less guest stars at Wilts High School.
Has the school ever brought in people to, like, individuals to teach about different classes for anything? For any individual?
Yeah, but we get stuff like a guy came in and talked about, like, the time he was drunk driving and killed all his friends. Another guy.
I had that guy.
Yeah.
Another guy actually came in that was a Holocaust survivor. That was really cool.
Oh, that's.
But we've never had anything about like health or anything that I remember.
Thought the last living Holocaust member or survivor died like a couple months ago or a year ago.
I don't think so.
No.
No, that was a World War One veteran. Or
okay, yeah,
I think.
That's what it was. That's what it was. World War One veteran, not Holocaust. And at the Laytonville High School, it seems like we have two health fairs a year.
I think
beginning
it's
of the
two
year,
or three, yeah.
Two or three, yeah. Beginning of the year, you have one. At the end of the year, have one. Talk about nutrition. Talk about making sure that you brush your teeth. Talk about serving size.
Don't do drugs.
Talking about exercise. Standard stuff like that that says, "Hey, students, you got to pay attention because you're actually living people and not just robots."
We come from Mars.
I don't think many people actually pay attention to the health fairs, though. That's
no.
The bad thing.
Most things taught like that are completely disregarded by students, and often by teachers as well. The teachers that will be teaching it themselves will think, "Oh, whatever, doesn't really matter." They know the students won't be paying much attention, and
I know a lot of kids who just leave during the health fair. They're like, "We don't need to be here. It's lunchtime. Bye, I'm not coming back."
I think that's why they started giving out gift cards to people who stayed the whole day.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a great incentive.
Gift cards to what?
Geiger's.
Yeah.
The local food market.
To buy soda.
Yeah, you can go to your health fair and stay there all day, make some money maybe, and then if you do, go spend it on horrible, horrible bad things for you. Teteo, have you ever had anyone in your family that has diabetes or anything?
Yeah, I think my uncle has diabetes.
Yeah, I don't know why I ask you. You're in my family, and he does.
Yeah, I think he does. Yeah, okay. He's kind of a... Well...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of got diabetes. Doesn't do much. Got diabetes. And, did Raul have anything?
Did.
Yeah, okay.
Diabetes.
Grandpa had
like
diabetes,
that.
Too. He's, Well.
My grandpa had diabetes, but he overcame it.
That's great.
Eat onions like apples.
Dude, I've actually
that's
seen people...
Sketch.
I've done that, and that's really odd. It works pretty well. What about you, Kelsey?
Well, I have somebody who's related by marriage, my grandfather, who has diabetes, and that's the only person I can think of who had any sort of health issue. Negative, major thing like that. I have somebody in my family who was anorexic and bulimic and everything. I think she's over that now, but I think that's a really major issue in,
diabetes.
High schools. Not like,
anorexia and bulimia and everything, yeah.
Yeah.
All those people that want to make sure that they can fit in and everything and look cool and be skinny enough and finish up their meal and finish up by puking in the bathroom or things like that, or don't have a meal, things like that, health conditions and different... I guess, what are they, dietary whatever, or what are they called, anorexia?
Eating disorders?
Eating disorders. There you go. Yeah, eating disorders. It just seems like they're becoming more and more common in the days in modern day society.
Well, pretty much everybody's opinion of attractiveness is the kind of clothes that you can fit into, or bathing suits, or
social media.
Yeah,
I fit into women's bathing suits very well.
Oh, Teo, I don't think so.
I think so. That's what matters.
Yeah,
I guess that's a good way to look at it. But that's not a good way that I'm going to look at it.
People don't seem to realize that their self-image is more of, well, you know, your own self-image. Well, you're not pretty because you're skinny enough that you can fit into the same pants as some other person.
You believe you're pretty, people will think you're pretty.
There was, I went to the clinic or something for a physical in 7th grade, and they told me I was a little bit overweight and I should watch my diet, and I didn't even really know what they were talking about because I was a 7th grader, and going in and telling the, or having the doctors pretty much tell me that I was overweight was a little bit of a shock. And then my father went in for, like, appendicitis, and he was really sick in the hospital, and they were telling him that he was overweight, and he got so mad at them because he's in the hospital bed feeling a whole bunch of pain, and they're telling him that he's fat. He got so mad at those doctors. But after that, I think I tried to stop eating as much sodas and try to play more sports and everything. But I don't know, I haven't changed my diet much since then, but I weigh less, so I guess something worked.
What do you all do for exercise? Kelsey just said sports. Yeah. Right?
I play basketball. I've been playing for a while now.
I don't do much for sports, for exercise. I don't do much. I've played soccer in the past, and that's been a sport that I've kept close to my heart. That's been something that I've really enjoyed doing. I've played soccer and done things like that with friends whenever I get the chance. I don't do a whole lot personally with exercise, like on a day-to-day basis, but I know that in school I have classes and stuff that I'm sort of active in at least, and that keeps me moving some time of the day and some time of the school week rather than just sitting there stagnant all day, every day.
I get up to go to the bathroom sometimes.
I've really enjoyed basketball this year in particular. It's hard to have a day off now. Well, especially my dad is a very active person, always working, always doing things, and I think that's also played a role into how I enjoy spending my time. Yeah, but even during the break we had basketball practice almost every day, and so I've been used to kind of getting in that routine, and I've been enjoying it. I feel better now than I did before the season.
Yeah, physical activity is great. It's beautiful what the mind and the body can do when they really synchronize and, you know, all work together and everything.
I do a lot more actual exercise during the summer vacation when I don't have other things to do, like school or
I'm usually too busy life. For working
so,
out.
So, you know, I'll do stuff like cut firewood for my parents. They pay me money. I get to cut firewood. I guess it's sort of a win-win situation.
Didn't you do CrossFit for a while, Elios?
Yeah.
Do you still do that?
Not anymore.
Did you enjoy doing that, though?
It was fun. It just wasn't fun getting up and getting to school at 5:30 in the morning.
It sounds agonizing.
Yeah, I understand that.
Wait, you'd have to be up before 5:30.
Yeah, you have to be there at 5:30.
Yeah, I don't think I can ever imagine myself actually considering wanting to do something that I would have to do before school as an intense physical exercise at 5 in the morning.
Then it's hard to sit down the rest of the day.
Yeah, that sounds
so sore.
Really uncomfortable.
Teo, what do you think about food advertising? Should it be limited? Like how tobacco things are?
Probably. I mean, I think there's too many ads. It makes life full of them.
Makes
TV kind of boring.
Fun.
Yeah, they should just remove ads in general, but yeah, I think they should be restricted. Makes my life easier. And, you know, well, some of those things probably shouldn't be eaten by the average person.
You see so many diet things, too, not just for food, but for diet supplements and pills and everything else.
Oh, you mean the things that don't actually work? And they're like, this works, proved by 100% of all doctors asked. We didn't ask any doctors, but it's approved by all of them.
Well, these ads pay for so many things, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the reason why TV's in existence.
Yeah. TV's kind of outdated, though.
You got the internet now.
That's pretty much what it seems like, is that people are advertising whatever they want on TV, and people just go on computers and stuff and say, hey, you know what? You're going to advertise all those things over my show and doing all that stuff? I'm just going to watch it on the internet instead.
When we still had a TV, we would record the show so we could fast forward all of the commercials. And then you would just get to watch the, like, 15 minutes of a show instead of 15 minutes of a show and 15 minutes of commercials.
15 minutes, like, it's like 35 minutes of commercials with a 15 minutes of show.
And then the stations are still getting their funding. You don't have to watch it. So win-win.
Yeah, pretty much. Seems like there's all sorts. There's always something. Always some different type of advertisement, though, around somewhere. Walk around the town, you'll see some poster for some sort of sugary drink or some poster for something unhealthy. It's
well, if it wasn't for advertisements, how would you know what to buy?
Very good point.
That's the point of advertisements of unhealthy food. This is what you should buy because this is what we're selling you.
Pretty much. And then supply and demand, and boom, people buy it because it's being sold to them.
If it looks good, it must taste good.
That doesn't work all too well.
Kind of sarcasm.
This is cardboard.
It does have an effect on how you taste it.
So yeah, Teo, have you ever learned much about pesticides and stuff? Genetically modified organisms?
Yeah, pesticides. That makes food not edible. It's poison for killing bugs. And we put it on our food, and then we put it in our mouth, and then we eat it. And, well, I don't really think eating poison is a good idea, so pesticides on food, I don't see why people would allow it.
Well, it's increased our productivity a lot.
Yeah. And we're poisoning ourselves with the food we put in our mouths that we cover with poison.
Better than starving.
That's true.
Yes, Ethiopia agrees with you.
I would say that I do believe that genetically modified organisms and pesticides, while they are bad and while there are many bad things about them, you know, there's always the good part, that it is feeding millions of people, like, you know, keeps people not hungry when they could be sitting there very hungry. And I think sometimes it's better to be not hungry and have some slight health defect than very hungry and, you know, not have any health at all.
But still, you're putting poison into your body.
Yeah, we got that.
Yeah, we got that, Teo. I don't know.
So I think Teo's against GMOs.
Yeah, I'll talk about pesticides more than GMOs, but you're putting poison in your body. That's just not good idea.
Yeah, pretty much.
Poison kills people.
Yeah, and even though most pesticides are tested to be not really meant to kill humans.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like...
Not really.
Poison, it's no, this small dosage doesn't kill you, but the fact that you're eating this over time and again, more and more and more, it builds up and then you're gonna die. It kills you.
Well, I mean, you're gonna die anyway, so here, have some good food.
And die. Yeah. Earlier. Yeah. You don't get to live this last, you know, 25 years of your life, whatever. And you don't get to live as happy because you're poisoning yourself, and poison is bad.
Elias, do you have a garden or anything at your house?
Yeah, we have a garden, except for when the goats get to it.
Greek
then
problems.
It's goat food.
Yeah, I've always lived around a family that has a some type of garden or some food growing somewhere and all that type of stuff. It's always been just another part of life. Go out in the backyard and see some carrots and some stuff growing there. You know, it's sort of cool.
This is the first year I can remember since I was a small child that we have not had a garden because we were moving in the process of when we would be planting the garden, so we weren't able to. It's kind of weird not having the potatoes and the all the peppers and the tomatoes. Did I already say tomatoes?
No, you said potatoes.
Potatoes. Potatoes are better anyway.
They're not.
Opinions.
Tomato sandwiches.
I'm allergic to citrus,
anyway,
so I mean...
Oh, yeah, nice. Well...
Which do you think is more important, diet or exercise?
Exercise, bro? You need a balance.
I'd say, yeah,
I think that
sort of both.
Diet has higher extremes than exercise, you know? With exercise, there's a smaller area that you can, you know, improve and disprove or fall down than with food.
I've done some pretty extreme exercises.
Yeah. But, like, if you sit there and you sit and eat, you know, like, fatty foods and don't eat vegetables, then you're just going to die of malnutrition. it's what happens when you don't eat the food that you're supposed to eat. And then if you, you know, again, on the other side, you sit there and only eat vegetables and you don't eat meat, you're going to die of malnutrition.
Because you're not eating protein,
or if you're just sitting there like, I'm going to eat broccoli for the rest of my life. You're going to die. It's what happens. But if you, you know, I'm only going to eat beef, you're going to die.
It's pretty much
And
what
with
happens.
Exercise, I mean, it helps increase your amount long you're going to live, or, you know,
decrease if you don't do anything. Or if you're dangerous.
You know, so I personally think that, you know, food is a little more important than working.
Exercise and all that?
Yeah.
Have any of you ever watched that show about people that have really weird diets and they, like, try to fix the people?
I don't even have TV, man.
I watched it online, but I watched one about this woman that ate nothing but cheesy potatoes.
I really want a cheesy potato.
And she had an aversion to every single food except cheesy potatoes.
I would love some cheesy potatoes right now.
Cheesy potatoes sound really good.
That sounds positively beautiful, having a life where you can live with nothing but cheesy potatoes.
You guys, let's go get cheesy potatoes after the show.
Yeah, cheesy potatoes.
Definitely be sort of cool.
I think we kind of got off of Elias' topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, fixing people's diet problems, because people have really bad diet problems.
Yeah.
I was watching a show, and this lady only, she liked to eat, like, the nail filing things. It was weird.
The what? No, no.
The nail files.
Oh, that's just what? Bizarre.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call if you have questions or insights about nutrition and education.
How did you develop your dietary pattern? Have you continued to eat the foods that you ate as a child? Have you ever experimented with radically changing your diet? Do you believe that you are what you eat?
Did you learn about nutrition as a student? Do you wish you had learned more? Have you ever modified your diet as a result of a health crisis? Have you ever modified your diet as a result of new information about agricultural practices or the methods of raising animals for food?
Do you think that nutrition is more important when growing up than it is later in life? Are you disturbed by the fast food industry's advertising that targets youth? Would government controls and warnings on unhealthy foods be taking away the freedom of Americans?
Have you ever experimented with eating patterns that others might call a food fad? Have you ever tried being a vegetarian? Are you concerned by agricultural practices like pesticides or GMOs? Does the inclusion of trans fats and high fructose corn sugar in processed foods disturb you?
Please join this discussion about youth and nutrition. Please call in and be part of this conversation. The phone number is 707-456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. Again, the phone number is 707-456-9991. Please call and share your opinions. We'd really like to hear from you.
All right, first caller, you're on the air.
Hey, howdy. You guys are cool for thinking about nutrition and exercise stuff.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah.
Right on. I wanted to recommend a really good book you guys read. You go to school and all that good stuff. It's called The World Peace Diet by Will Tuttle. Have any of you heard of that?
I haven't, actually.
He lives now in Healdsburg. We're vegan. He's vegan. I'm vegan, too, pretty much. I mean, it's hard to be totally vegan. But I think vegan is really cool. It's really healthy. And getting exercise is really good. I just like walking. I got to walk every day. I go crazy if I can't walk. Vegan's really good, and you can eat some really good stuff, too. It's not just, I mean, this whole intensive confinement of animals in these concentration situations that you guys were talking about that food ink and stuff, yeah, it's incredible. It's torture and cruelty on our plate, you know. So, you know, I mean, that's where I'm coming from. I thought I'd call in. I never call in radio stations, but you guys are really cool.
Thank you.
So what would you define being vegan as? I've talked to a couple different people, and some say, oh, well, nothing from animals at all. And some people say, well, you mean you can eat honey? Because, you know,
that's kind of what I've heard, too. They say there's probably about 1% of people who are totally vegan. Another 1% actually just use honey, which is, well, I think it's just like all animals are just being exploited terribly. And that's why any animal product... dairy, eggs, add honey because honey can be made sustainably, but most commercial honey isn't. I mean, because they kill the bees, and it's really a harsh thing moving the bees around to various pollination situations. So I've actually used to raise bees myself. It's gotten a lot harder now with these mites.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a huge issue, and I think it's really an important issue. Our nutrition, I mean, it's making people sick what they're eating, but people will do that to, you know, satisfy their cultural, you know, indoctrinated, you know, misperceptions of food. This whole situation of these giant factory farms producing stuff and our whole, I mean, the major media doesn't cover this stuff. Have you ever heard a program, you know, there was somebody on Coast to Coast AM, you know, in the middle of the night was talking about here a couple of weeks ago about the vegan diet, and, you know, that it's a healthy diet. That's where he basically, he really liked John Robin has another really good book, Diet for a New America. That's a little older than Will Tuttle's book. Will lives right, they're both California guys. Will Tuttle goes at it, you know, and does John Robin, you know, ethical, you know, treatment of animals. It's just, it's abhorrent. I mean, there was one time where, you know, animals are raised and, you know, slaughtered at home. And, you know, I mean, that's not acceptable to me, but I could see that point. I just can't see this intensive confinement of animals, you know, in these, you know, what they call factory farms, you know.
Yeah, factory farms are sort of just overall
harsh world.
Yeah, the whole concept of it's disgusting.
Yeah, and I think it radiates bad vibes out.
It really does.
Would you consider having honey that you yourself, you know, created, you know, you had your own bees?
Deal. I think that would be, because you can, you know, harvest, they call it seasoned honey, but you can leave enough on there, or even have to feed them sugar if they get low and ready to conk out. I'd say that would be fair. From my vegan perspective, theoretically, I don't think honey is considered vegan.
All right, well,
you know, basically any animal, you know, animal flesh, it's not good for you. Kaiser Permanente said the whole thing, the plant-based diet to 17,000, you know, providers is the way to go, you know. So, I mean, there is quite a bit of movement in that direction.
Yeah.
Toward, you know,
I agree.
I guess I should let other people call in, and I hope they do, but, you know, I really enjoy talking to you. I like to talk to more people about it. I'm kind of isolated. I'm getting out.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling in. It's been great to hear you.
Yeah, right. Well, thanks a lot. That's the first trial for me anyway. Thank you guys for being intelligent and talking about cool stuff.
And thank you as well. Bye-bye. All right. Caller, you were on the air.
Not yet. No. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. It was really interesting listening to your discussion. I would just like to make one comment. Are any of you familiar with Vandana Shiva?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Here's the problem. You were saying about how, you know, GMOs are going to feed the world. That's all propaganda from Monsanto. And Vandana Shiva is like, I don't know how to describe her, the Gandhi of the world, because she is from India, and there are, I can't tell you how many, like 200,000 farmers have committed suicide because of the GMO seeds, okay? And she has, I just saw something today where she was talking about geoengineering and what's going on. But the problem is that you think that GMOs are going to feed the world. That is Monsanto propaganda. It's not true. If anything, they're finding out that the GMOs are actually, the crop is much smaller than normal. The animals are getting sick who are eating the GMO corn and such, and in the end it's not going to help anybody really. But I would really suggest to you that you do some informed reading. Go on Google, ask about that. I just saw something the other day that totally made my blood chill, which was that there are about 6 million children worldwide who are in the, what is it called, the H3O clubs, you know, the farming clubs. Well, Monsanto is actually targeting them, telling them how great GMOs are and it's the future. So there's a lot of propaganda going on, and I would suggest that, that you need to find out the truth. I think there was a saying, something like, know the truth and it'll make you free.
So okay. These farmers committing suicide you were talking about, why exactly did
because
they?
Because, okay, this is in India. Because, see, Monsanto talked to them, and they explained to them how the GMO cotton would just be absolutely great. They'd have higher quantities and on and on and on. But then what happened was a lot of the farmers didn't understand that they couldn't use the seeds anymore. They had to buy the seeds each year from Monsanto. And so they were going bankrupt, and they committed suicide. I can't tell you how many. It's something like 225,000. But it's all on the web. You can read it. And Monsanto is not a good guy. Monsanto is a really bad guy. And they actually have, very strangely enough, I've read a lot of books on this. And, for example, they actually have somebody who used to be the, you know, one of the big guys in Monsanto now working for the FDA. Isn't that interesting? So the FDA pretty much lets them do what they want to do. But you want to read. Just educate yourself. Don't believe anything I say. Just get out there and question. Everything you hear, question. Okay?
Yep, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Yep, bye. That was definitely interesting. I've heard quite a few bad things about Monsanto before and different GMOs, but never quite from that point of view. All right, caller, you're on the air.
Hi there. I'm so glad that woman just called to give you the information about GMOs that she did. I was going to try to do that, but she did it much better than I would have. I do want to say that I think we need to start doing research, or many people are, but just have a broader approach to food now, as happened with tobacco use many years ago. People finally got alarmed enough to really start gathering information beyond what was being presented to them by the media. And that has to happen with food as well. An additional thing I wanted to say about the GMOs is that when someone's next to a GMO crop, it could be an organic farmer, there'll be cross-pollinization from the GMO plants to the other plants. Once there's the tiniest trace of that GMO DNA in the organic farmer's crop, then Monsanto can sue the farmer for having stolen their patented seed stock. And that's one way they're putting small farmers and independent seed companies out of business. So I would really encourage you to find out more about the food stuff while you still have many years ahead of you to be eating. Thanks.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you very much as well.
I actually have heard some stuff about that. That was one thing I did heard about.
Yeah, I was going to mention a little more about it, but
Sam
didn't really come up in the conversation.
I don't think that would succeed in a court.
What? Oh, no, it works. No, it actually happens all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
Worldwide, if you're caught with the wrong stuff in your plants,
you
pretty
see,
much.
They Monsanto say, well, you're stealing from us. Money. And with that lots of money, they can hire a lot of lawyers. And with that lots of lawyers, they can get a whole bunch of information.
And
a whole bunch of information, you win.
A lot of people.
And they make money off of it and put people out of business and then own those companies. And
pretty much an easy way to make a complete and total monopoly on a
product.
On a product, yeah. Is by easily outlawing anyone that does try to farm it and everything like that.
Hi.
Hey. Uh-huh.
This is Robert West of Willits. You're having a wonderful show today. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
I just wanted to recommend to anybody that's interested, and I know you have a lot of young listeners and so forth, apiculture, bee raising, is one of the most interesting, intelligent things that people can do. You had a bee man on earlier, and I had bees for several years. They got some diseases and died, but they're coming up with better ways of keeping them going. But raising bees is a really interesting thing, and it's really necessary, and it's a way of making a living that you can be outdoors. And, you know, some people are afraid of bees because they can't sting, But I tell you, I didn't wear very many clothes, and I used to go out there and play the cello to them, and they loved it, you know. So these are a very friendly creature and a very different kind of intelligence, but they're sure intelligent. But anyway, I just wanted to recommend people look into it, because it's interesting, and it's really a lot of fun. Anyways, your show is just great. Carry on.
Thank you very much.
Hasn't your mom been raising bees lately, Rowan?
Yeah, my parents have been beekeeping, actually, for a few months now, and it's been pretty interesting.
Bees.
Yeah, you can go out onto my back porch every day for a few hours during while it's still sunlight, and we'll have little bits of honey in everywhere, everything all around the porch, so they can come in and grab some food.
There are bees in the kitchen.
Yeah, the other night, like a dozen or so of them, maybe two dozen, got into my house and were just crawling around my kitchen, which was sort of weird.
They're adorable. They, like, land on you and you can, like, pet them.
Yeah.
They'll let you do it because you fed them. They you aren't harmful anymore. You're now a nice person.
Exactly. You can stand out on the back porch.
They land on you and they're cute. They're fuzzy and...
Yeah, it's really cool.
That guy sounded really cool, though, playing cello to bees.
Yeah.
I just thought that was awesome.
Yeah, again, the phone number is 456-9991 with an area code of 707.
Be great to hear any potential listeners or anyone that wants to call in about anything at all whatsoever pertaining to nutrition and the diet of, you know,
there we go.
People.
Caller, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hey.
So, I just wanted to say thank you all so much for doing this. I think it's a great subject for your show, and... I wanted to say that I want to emphasize that we live in such an amazing area to grow food, find local food if we can't grow it, raise animals for food, or help those by buying the meat that they raised locally. And I grew up in New Jersey. There's no culture or consciousness about nutrition where I grew up. There was nobody raising, there was no food localization. People didn't know where their food was really coming from, especially young people like yourselves. And it was so awesome to hear that some of your family have gardens. And so I just wanted to point that out, that maybe you all have lived here all your lives and you don't know the difference, but there's just such a great exposure here to find what best works for you. You can do your own research, because in your own communities, we're full of healthy local food all around here, and we're really, really lucky. There's so many places in the world where that doesn't happen, or it's not accessible. And also that people aren't conscious that communities like this exist. So I just, also that I hear some people calling up and really putting forth stuff about Monsanto and veganism. And I just think it'd be great for you all to take it in priority to find what best works for your body and in your health, you know, and take everybody's information, but also do your own research, because not every diet works for every person.
I completely agree.
So, thank you all so much.
Thank you as well.
No, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yep.
It's one of the bonuses to living in a rural area is there's more room for growing of food, and so it makes it easier to, well, have food and to grow it your own. And
yeah, it definitely, like the farmers markets and stuff, things like that around Laytonville and Willits, they're always there, and it's great once a week or so, but it's awesome. All right, caller, you are on the air.
Hey, I want to mention that Roundup now Monsanto is coming out with 2,4-5-D ready instead of what they were using, Roundup Ready seeds, because the weeds now, they've got super weeds, and they're impervious to all the planting, with all the pesticides coming up.
Yeah.
And anyway, Monsanto is not benign. There's nothing good about them. They've been mixing a lot of different things that were never intended with nature. Nature's a long process. You know, it goes through many years to give what we have, and all of a sudden there's all this fiddling with it, and people have different allergies. It's unprecedented. There's all this sort of beneficial flora in your gut that are now reacting, you know, all badly. Anyway, good show, and I'll be listening.
Thank you. Thank you for the input. I've definitely heard that as well. My mom's told me several times that one of the problems with many things that you do with your life is how it interacts with your internal organs and everything. Like, if you end up smoking cigarettes and all of that stuff, then, boom, it can rip up your lungs easily, obviously.
No lungs?
And it can rip up your stomach. It can just mess up all sorts of stuff. We probably have time for one more caller, if anyone would like to call in. The number is, again, 707-456-9991.
We have another caller already.
All right, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to thank you for your program.
All right.
And to say, just think, keep it real. You know, whole foods that are the way that food was meant to be, whether you're vegetarian or vegan or not, is the way to go.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So keep it real.
All right, that's the plan.
Take care.
Yep, you too. Thank you, caller.
When we lived on the ranch, my dad would grow the hay, and then he would give it to the cattle and everything. So we always had grass-fed cattle, and we would get at least one every year for just our family. And that's just the way that we kind of maintained local grass-fed beef that had nothing harmful put into it or anything like that. And he didn't even spray the fields for anything except for maybe mustard 1 year or so, but even then it wasn't that bad. And so we had the homegrown beef and homegrown vegetables and everything else.
I know that most of my life my mom's always been pushing for all organic everything, and my whole family's pretty much grown up organic since my mom's been a super big health freak most of her life.
Yeah. Grew up in a weird time. My parents did.
Definitely say that, though. Yeah. I don't know.
Elios, do you think that you eat mostly organic or no?
It used to be more so. Not as much anymore.
Yeah, a lot of it really depends on where you live. I know that in, like, Laytonville and Willits. Yeah, there's that as well.
Organic food's expensive.
Definitely. More expensive than the standard foods and stuff, usually.
I don't understand why that is. Stuff that's better for you is more expensive.
Because it takes longer. It's harder to grow. Harder to grow well and have a good yield.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Rowan, and...
Teo.
Elios.
And Kelsey.
Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's Youth Speaks Out. Our environmental prevention strategies in the community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working toward reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email jama@jamashields@pacific.net.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 4 weeks, that is February 2nd at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in February.